I was so happy that they had an easy word for hello. This will not be a typical message, but I'm just sharing what stood out to me about the trip and what I learned. So first of all, I specifically asked him, "What do you want me to tell them?" And he said, "First of all, thank you very much for the offer, for the giving of y'all's church, and for the prayer of your church. Thank you very much for the support." And just as he was talking, it impressed to me again that very few churches are able to give very much to missionaries. And so it's encouraging to them that we're able to support them with a good bit. And then also he was very thankful and very shocked by the extra we sent him to take care of us. And as he put it, "Oh, for $500 a head, you can send as many as you want." So that was kind of funny. But he was very thankful for that, and I think he used almost all of it, probably. But and then also in Swaziland, we met two different people. First, Bondile, who's kind of the acting pastor for that church in a way, national. And he pulled us aside and specifically said, "Thank your church for sending Brother Kuzel, because in many ways we are directly associated with him coming to Christ and that work." So he was very thankful for that and said thank you to y'all for even sending us over there to see the work. And then another lady asked us to say thank you to y'all. So they're very grateful, and they are very grateful people anyways. We are very thankful. I can say for myself for sure that I was not expecting the trip to go as well as it did, but it went very well. It was very exciting. I learned a lot spiritually and had lots of fun. So now I'll go into things that I really, really enjoyed about the trip. First of all, it didn't take long. They met us at the terminal with six or seven of the brethren, and that was really exciting. Of course, they have their accent, so you can't hardly understand them at the beginning. But they were just so full of joy, their believers there, and it was so refreshing to see Christians who aren't nominal Christians. They're not just there on Sunday. They're just joyful and super excited about their faith. And Mr. Kuzel really puts a lot of pressure on it, or a lot of emphasis on it. And so they do in turn, that they are so thankful for what God saved them from. And that fact that they're saved is all they need to be thankful. And that was convicting to me to say, you know, everything doesn't have to be going well, but if you're saved, that is, you should be joyful just because of that. So that was good. And then in 1 John 12:2 is really the verse that, if you want to turn there, you can see it. I was reading through first, or I was looking through 1 John, because I thought there was another verse, and this one jumped out. And I think this is really the verse that stuck out to me from this trip, looking back. 2:12. It says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." And it's only through Jesus Christ that we're forgiven, but he's writing this whole letter. He's admonishing them to be joyful over in in 3 John, because their sins are forgiven. And that's what we should be thankful for. And for me, I was saved at 5. And so I don't necessarily have a wicked past as far as the eyes of the world. But even looking back, I can see that my sins were forgiven because I was still a sinner and I was still lost and on my way to hell. And so even I can be very, very thankful for that. So that was a real blessing to me. And to their credit, you can see in their faces when they get more somber, they have trials. Some of the guys in university, even Mr. Kuzel mentioned, they don't know where their next meals are coming from all the time, but they're willing to be joyful because they have Christ. So that was one big thing that really stood out to me. And then also, he has, like he mentioned when he came, he has school ministries going on, and that's a large portion of what he does over there. And so he'll go to 4 or 5 different schools. Actually, one of his preacher boys goes to another school, So he goes to four different schools for morning assembly and preaches for like 7 minutes on a verse or something. And then he'll come back in the evening or afternoon and give a Bible study for the students who are interested. And so through that, he has seen most of his preacher boys saved, who then left school and started with the church. He's seen some come to the schools, hear his preaching, like Lubanzi, and then left school. They were too cool to go to Bible study in school, but once they left, God got a hold of their heart, and they met back up with Mr. Kuzel, and then they got saved. So he's seen a lot of fruit from that, and he even mentioned some churches think that he's not over there planting churches because he's so busy in the schools. And he said, no, I'm starting churches through the schools. And so these schools are raising up the young men who are starting churches. So that was exciting to see. But what really is amazing, and the climate in these schools are boarding schools, most of them, and they're a godless society. You got the male and the female boarding together. They live in separate places, but they are together all day long. And the teachers have no control whatsoever. The teachers actually fear the kids. So you can imagine the sin that prevails in the school. And you can even see it when you go in. And so to go to the Bible studies is looked on as very bad. The kids make a lot of fun of those who do go. But a lot of kids still come. And I really admire that they're willing to come. And they're not saved, but they're still willing to come. And to give you an idea of the sacrifice that they're making, for Metro and NPC, those are two of the schools, they go to school around 7:30, and they're in school with maybe a couple short breaks until 4:30, and then at 4:30 until 6, they have off for their own time, and then at 6, they go back to school till 9, and one guy was telling me even possibly 10 for night studies. So that really leaves them 1 hour free in a whole day. And twice a week, they're willing to go straight from class to Brother Kuzel's Bible study and sit there for an hour and hear preaching instead of spending their own time. So to me, that was really impressive that they're that hungry. But I would ask you to really pray specifically for Metro NPC, which stands for Nelsprite Private College. And then there's another one called Kutsalani. And those schools, they have probably at least 5 people in each of those schools that are very, very close to salvation. And school's almost done, and he's not going to be able to get to them for quite a while. And some of them are graduating, and he doesn't know how to get them across the line. They're not willing to let go of some sin or themselves completely. And so he's really burdened about that. So please pray that they would turn to God in this last couple weeks that he has with them. And then before I get to some of the funner things we did while we were there, like I said, the hunger for God really stood out to me. And in the schools, they seemed very hungry for the things of God. And largely because over there, Christianity is a prominent religion. Almost everybody's a Christian of some sort. Typically Zionist, ZCC, I'm not really sure what that is, charismatic, some of the high church, but it's all fake. And they call them Mfudisis, and so that's their preachers. But they're fake, and he really likens them to Pharisees. And, you know, they're praying over people to have them saved. They're speaking in tongues. And he even tells the students, do you leave there confused or grounded in the Word of God? And they always say, no, we leave there absolutely confused because we have no clue what's going on in church. And so and they know that it's not of God. I mean, there's no question about that. But that they have all this fake, and then they see him and his family, his church, joy, true meaning to life, and they're seeing that something's real. And so they're hungry. And some people are traveling some long distances with taxi just to get to church, and they're not even saved yet. So they have about 4 different church plants right now through the different areas, one in Swaziland, one right outside Swaziland, and then one in Kutsalani, where's their main church, and then one I don't know where the other one is. Then they have a couple university meetings where one man will lead a university, and then Brother Kuza will come every now and then. And then they have a bunch of the different school ministries that they're doing. So they're really reaching out to a lot of different groups. One of their preacher boys right now, he's an old man, but he's not quite a pastor yet. And he is now stepping out and teaching in schools in his area. So they're really excited about that. So they have at least seven different preacher men. Many of them are very young. Two of them are older guys. And they're getting very, very close to becoming pastors. And so from my eyes looking at the churches and from things that Mr. Kuzel said, some of the churches are getting very close to indigenizing. So that's encouraging to see. But I don't think he's planning on stopping. I mean, there's so many areas around there. One thing that they're really having a burden for is Bush. It's a huge region that they have two or three believers in, but no church. And so they're holding Bible studies there, but they're really trying to get a work started there. So you can pray for that, that they would be able to find a location to meet and then enough people to really start a church in Bush. And another thing that I was really encouraged and somewhat convicted about was their dedication to church, putting aside work, putting aside everything so that they could set aside Sunday for God. And one of the guys, Victor, he's another one of the preacher guys, and Mr. Kuzel was telling us that he struggled for a long time just to find a job that he could do and not work on Sunday. And he finally did find a job, and he has had to turn down promotions. He's had to turn down raises just to not have to work on Sundays. And in Mr. Kuzel's eyes, that is unheard of in Africa, to turn down a promotion. And it is kind of here too. But he's willing to do whatever he can to stay in church. And he also had to learn sign language to help some people in their church. And he works at a phone tech place. And now he's the only one who knows sign language. And so now they're really hanging on to him because he can help all these deaf people. So it's really turning out to his favor. They gave him a raise, or at least a bonus, even though he wouldn't take the promotions. So he's really excited to see his young men rising in their faith in God that he will supply. So I think now James is going to share, and then I'll share a little bit more of the fun stuff we did and then some pictures.
Well, I'm very grateful for each one who, even when we got back, said, you know, I prayed for you, you know, every day, or I was kept remembering you, you know, prayed for you. And that's a blessing and an encouragement. I thank you for doing that. I think God probably, you know, said, okay, I'll bring this to pass today because someone at home is praying for him or something like that. You never know. So thank you for that part. Again, thank you for giving and being generous and so we could help us go. And I know God really used it in my life. I never spent much time imagining what it would be like, or I just never did. But I was prepared, you know, to serve, to be doing things, to give. And even the first night we were there, we said, you know, Brother Kuzel, if there's anything we can do, just let us know. We're here to help you. And I think he said something really wise, or did something wise that turned out to be very good, that he said, you know, you'll see things. Each missionary works differently. So I'll do something one way or the other, but I want y'all to observe. And I'm not just going to have you be doing stuff this whole time. I want you to observe how I do it. I want you to see how things work. I want you to meet the believers. And he worked really hard to let us, you know, meet each person and show us where the churches are getting started and stuff like that. And looking back, I'm very glad he did that, because it really opened a door for me to learn and to see a lot. And we were able to serve them in some small ways, but we are glad to learn. And that was one thing that I went over there, you know, thinking, well, maybe he may ask me to teach or whatever. But really, I was taught. And, you know, I was humbled just to see the devotion of the believers. And It's not that I'm trying to hold them up as, you know, super spiritual, but just that the genuineness and realness of their faith, that most of them have been saved later on in life. So they have a past, and so now they have a new. They have this, you know, they all the sin, they know it, and most of them have written a testimony track that we gave out, and very powerful, just short tracks, short synopsis of their testimonies, and then the gospel on them. So I think God's really using those. But some things that I gained from the preaching, we of course went to all the Bible studies and went to church and all that. So I heard a lot of the preaching, and I kept thinking many times, that's what pastor says, or just you hear it from someone else and it suddenly clicks just because maybe you're new environment, paying more attention, and so you to help connect some dots. But just listening to how he would share the gospel was very interesting to me. And he liked to use from John chapter 3 and different other passages as well. But he wasn't necessarily so quick to just lay it all out like we think of the gospel. Jesus, died for you, was buried, rose again, now trust in him. And it was interesting to hear his approach. He really wanted them to understand the gospel. And there's three things I brought up Friday night that really came from him. I heard him say over and over, how can you be born again? How can you be saved if you don't know why you need to be saved? If you don't know what it means to be saved? If you don't know how to be saved? And so that's really what he focused on telling them. And we were able to ride around with him, pretty much everywhere a lot of the time. And so he would kind of disciple us, just talk about different things. And I appreciate it. He said, I do something here your pastor doesn't, do what your pastor wants you to do. So he didn't try to indoctrinate us or something. He said, stay with your pastor. But he wanted each one, every person that he had the opportunity to share with, us included, to truly know we're saved and not to think so. And that's what a lot of his preaching was on. And so in regards to how he taught salvation, it was interesting to me that he would take a lot of time in just helping them understand where they were before God. And it was like, at first I was kind of sitting there. So when is he going to get farther along in the gospel? But then after a while, it's beginning to click that, no, the guy's not, he's not ready for the gospel, the whole plan of salvation in a way. He has to understand that he's lost. And one thing he brought out is that Nicodemus says, how, and it's two times Nicodemus says that when Jesus is talking to him, and he's even a super religious man, so to speak. And so you can talk to someone, share the gospel with them, and they seem super interested, but are they really understanding that? I guess I begin to see it as more of a process, that it's not going to happen like that, and sometimes we want it to. But you have to be willing to go back and share it again and again. And they've met different guys in the church are meeting with other guys that they just held Bible studies with them week after week after week after week until it's like it begins to click. Because it says that salvation is of the Lord. It's the Lord's doing. And there's the human side, to salvation. But it says that no man seeketh after God. It's not natural. We're dead in our sins. We're blinded. And it's God begins to seek to us. God calls the sinner. And you see in Acts 5:31, Jesus came to give repentance. And repentance is a gift that God gives. It's a doing. It's a work that he does in our hearts. God draws the sinner to salvation. He gives the faith to believe. And just seeing that divine element in salvation, that it's really a work that God does. And, I've, for instance, one thing that you hear all the time is, as long as there's, breath, there's hope. And I'd kind of thought about salvation as, I know there's a lot of ways to look at it, but really looking at salvation is something God has to do in the heart. So our job is to tell him, to sow the seed, but only God can really bring that true repentance necessary. Someone can believe, but unless there's a true work of repentance, they're not turning from sin. they're not repenting of anything. It won't be a genuine work. It'll just be that they believe now about Jesus. And so that was a good learning opportunity for me in sharing the gospel and things like that. Another thing that was very beneficial to me was his mini sermons on, because most of the students, as well as around here, they say, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm born again, whatever. So he would often preach on, do you like the assurance or salvation, or do you know that you're saved, when it's too late to be saved? And that's what a lot of his messages were on while we were there. But I appreciated that, I guess I would say, I believe I'm saved because of some different things in my testimony that I felt for sure I was saved, but when did I get saved? I have, I've made professions at two different times, which is genuine. And, just the different times, I asked him about some of that stuff and, the counselor gave me, and I appreciated that I appreciate the counsel. But several of the things so he was talking to us, and he said that he suggests anybody that's struggling, when did I get saved? Am I truly saved? To just be willing to let everything, and if you would, just put it into the fire, put it to the test. Lord, I'm not going to trust in anything that I've said or done or been or thought. Any human work that I've ever done for you, as to trust that myself that I'm saved because of that. And because even in Judas, we see that Judas was a baptized apostle, baptized of John, had evident fruits of repentance because John baptized those who had those fruits. So he at least was faking it. He was a follower of Jesus. He heard every message. He was there all the time. He went out with the apostles with power. He sang, he prayed. He did all these things, but was a lost man. And that was something God was working in my heart, that not me telling me I'm saved, but I want God to tell me I'm saved. Amen. And how we have to be so careful to tell anybody that they are saved, versus it says his spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. And looking for, if you would, the divine element, not what have I done. And I know that salvation is, there's a human side to that. But saying, if you're wondering whether you're saved or not, let's look for the fruits, the marks of the Spirit. So, such as communion. Do I have the communion? Do I have the fellowship of the Holy Ghost? Do I have the conviction or that correction when I'm wrong? And do I have his comforting and his fruits in my life? Those are the marks of the Spirit. And as I did that, it came, I was willing, because just the different things you hear, I want to say, Lord, I want to really know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I want to be so positive, but I don't want to deceive myself. I don't want to be so sincere in everything, but never truly have repented. Because, I made a profession when I was young, and that can be kind of challenging sometimes in looking back. How much do I remember? What did I really understand? And so on. Was it genuine? And so that was, something I've, over the years, struggle with. As I would pray through that, as I'd read through the scriptures, I read through 1 John many times, Romans, and different things. I said, Lord, I'm not going to tell myself I'm saved. You're going to have to tell me. You're going to have to show me from your word. I don't want to tell myself that I'm saved. Your spirit bears witness. And then we assure our hearts before him the response of that. And so over that course of time, God did assure my heart, you are mine. That was a big blessing for me, and I'm grateful for that. But I would encourage you to really, really check out your salvation and say, is it, if you have a doubt or something, or just, say, God, assure my heart, I'm saved. Because that was just one thing that stuck out to me. Every one of the believers, they'd come up, it wasn't long before they said, are you born again? If you hadn't asked them already, or let me hear your testimony. That's just the kind of people they were, that, they knew salvation was something real to them, and they were always, anybody they met, they were really, before long, asking that question. So I appreciated that. And that's pretty much everything. The Kuzels made us feel right at home. They were great hostesses and hostesses. Probably my most exotic memory is a monkey running inside the open kitchen door and stealing two bananas. You know, that you don't see that around our place. That's a memory I'll kind of keep in mind. And I just want to thank the church for their support and their prayers. And I thank you a lot.
So. 6:50 to go to a morning assembly. And then typically we would go out to eat for the morning and then go to the Bible study, or we'd come home. So we went out to eat almost every day. So we got to try most of the restaurants there, sometimes twice a day. So, as I told them, I'd never been to a coffee shop before to eat, and they were quite shocked by that. But it was really the trip of firsts. So the first time I'd flown, first time I had been to a coffee shop, first time I got to go ice skating, first time I got to go to a cave. You know, so lots of different first-time events. But we did get to go to the caves, Suduwala Caves, and according to them, it's like one of the oldest caves in the world, but I think they're all created at the same time. But the cave was pretty cool. It was a hideout for one of the groups there a long time ago. So that was a neat trip. We got to go with some of the believers. And then we went on a safari, and that was nice because they live at the bottom of the Kruger National Park, which is the largest natural reserve in the world, about the size of New Jersey. So we got to go there, and they live at the bottom where most of the animals are. So that was really exciting. We got to see the big five, which are the leopard, lion, elephant, rhino, and water buffalo. Yeah, so we got to see all big five in one day, which is, they said, almost never happened. So they were super excited about that. And then we got to see boas, what did I write down? Hippos, zebras, monkeys, a bunch of different deer variations. So that was pretty exciting. As we were coming home, Mr. Kuzel was saying, you know, all these other people out here are so fortunate that we are here, because we were praying that God would show us animals, and they're just tagging along. So, we also got to go ice skating, which was a first for us. So that was pretty fun. They have an ice skating rink at one of the malls. And they sent us off to spend our time, 30 minutes of our time in the mall while they went shopping. So when we got back, we showed them what we had done, and they were so upset that they didn't get to see us ice skating. They're like, too bad. You wanted to go shopping. So with that, I'll show you the brief slideshow. And if you want to see 700 pictures, feel free to come over. But if not, you can see the shortened version here.